Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Laurie Beth Jones Blog Talk Radio Show. And I am thrilled this morning to have as my guest on his day off, Reverend Mike Slaughter. And he is the lead pastor and chief dreamer of Ginghamsburg Church in Tip City, Ohio. And his church has invested $4.4 million into humanitarian relief in Darfur. And under his leadership, the church has grown from 90 worshipers to 5,000 a week. And he has a lot to share with us this morning. And I became aware of Mike's work when I was attending a United Methodist conference in Tampa recently. And his book, Change the World, is the lead tipping point of their Rethink Church campaign for the entire denomination. I believe there's 38,000 Methodist churches. So, Mike, you are the tip of the spear, as it were, and the beating heart for the Methodist Church right now in so many ways. And thank you for taking time out today to be on the show.
Well, Lord Beth, I'm really excited about being with you today.
And we were sharing earlier in the pre-show that Mike's church is 16 miles out of Dayton, which is, one of the fastest dying cities in the United States with 15% unemployment. And so this is a really ripe opportunity for the church to make a difference. And, Mike, in your book you talk about missional versus attractional. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, you know, so many of the models of church growth, especially after post-World War II period, 50s and 60s, it was the mainline church that really geared up programs to serve the baby boomer generation, these young growing families. And then into the late 70s through the 90s, it was the church growth model that really had a seeker-sensitive kind of emphasis. And most of these models were totally based on programs, you know, ways to be creative to get people into the church. And my whole premise is that we need to get back to, you know, reclaiming the message and mission of Jesus. And Jesus' purpose wasn't to get people into the institution, but get to the people who were in the religious institution out being his hands and feet in the world. And there's a numbers neurosis right now, especially in mainline denomination. Lord Beth, our denomination, United Methodist, is losing like 80,000 members a year. And if the focus is too much on short-term gain, how we get people in the church, we're going to really miss the whole mission of Jesus, which is how we can be relevant to meeting the world's needs in everyday kind of ways.
Well, I loved one of the sentences that I circled in your book was, commitment to Christ is measured not by belief, but by action. And so, and then you talked about cruise ship programs that, you know, so many of the mega churches today are based on making it entertaining and user-friendly or seeker-friendly, rather, and that they miss the message of Christ, which was really a lot of hard work, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, you know, constantly we're warned in the Gospels to count the cost of what it really means to follow Jesus. You know, one of the toxic teachings in the church is that you can be a Christian without being a disciple, or that you can believe without following. And that's nowhere in the Gospels. Jesus said, by this all people will know you're my disciples, by the way you love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that love that Jesus is talking about is not a feel-good group hug kind of thing, but it's actively serving the needs of the community. You know, you mentioned that Dayton is one of the 10 fastest dying cities in America. We're just located north of Dayton because we've lost all of our automobile industry. A year ago, our church was serving 300 families a week through the food pantry, a little more than a year ago. Now it's 1,500 families
through our two
food pantries.
Wow.
And I think it's in these ways the church, again, becomes an empowering center in the community. In one of our campuses in an at-risk area, we have a GED program, and we have 28 students right now in that GED program. These are people that are in a high at-risk area, and then when they graduate from that program, they can enter the local community college. So, you know, the church needs to be working out where there's real need in the world. We're partnering right now with Belhaven Elementary School in Dayton, Ohio. We have 80, we call them servants, volunteers in that school every week, ensuring that every teacher has an assistant, that the computer lab, which had no teachers because the school district didn't have money to have a teacher in the computer lab, that we have volunteers in the computer lab. Their school scores, in 18 months we've been in that school, have gone from the lowest third test scores in the Dayton School District to the top third. So these are ways the church can be involved. You don't have to be a big church, but every church can practice being the hands and feet of Jesus in their communities and meeting very specific kind of needs.
Oh, wow. I just love that. You know, the unemployment issue is near and dear to my heart. My new book, Jesus Career Counselor, is coming out in May, and I want to make sure I get you a copy of that. And,
oh, I would love it. Yeah.
Yeah, talk about how to find and keep your perfect work. And certainly the unemployment, I've had two of my close friends be laid off from careers they thought they'd never leave or lose, you know. So it's certainly a time to rethink mission.
Well, Lori Beth, we've had some real success in Jamaica with our micro businesses, and so we're trying to import that into our own community here in Dayton, Ohio. So we've started our first micro businesses where so many of the homes have been foreclosed on and have just sat empty for 2 and 3 years, that the banks have just virtually turned them over to the city. So the city was spending money, you know, keeping these lawns cut and so forth. So now we have started some micro businesses with some of the poor people in the community, enabling them to purchase lawnmowers and stuff. So, you know, this is the beginning here in our own community of exploring with micro business.
Well, you know, in one of the points that we discussed or talked about prior to the show, micro versus macro. Talk about that, because you touched on micro businesses, but you also have a broader expansion in your mind about that concept.
Well, you know, in the 90s, 80s and 90s, and there was much focus given to church growth and then the mega church models. And Ginghamsburg really became a mega church in that time, where the Willow Creeks and Saddlebacks and larger churches in the country. But the problem is the younger generation, that 35 and younger, don't relate to the mega mall styles of ministry with the food courts and so forth. You know, they were the generation more of the relational, small relational kind of communities, coffee shops, you know, that were much more focused on relationships and finding ways to serve that give significance. So I believe that the megachurch is not a highly reproducible kind of model, and we're much more now focusing on restarting churches that have died or dying in local communities who may have a critical mass, may grow to 2 to 3 to maybe even 600, and to be empowerment centers in that community and then go and restart another one. So it's not about being the biggest church in the area. We'll see for the church in the future. It's about churching the area in a means that truly serves the community in which we live, where we're located.
Wow. Mike, how did you become so passionate about Christ and his mission in the world?
Lori Beth, I really, I was raised in the United Methodist Church, but we were, I kind of call my family, we were kind of weekly, nominal kind of attenders. You know, that it was important for my family to go to church on Sunday, but it didn't really impact our life during the week. And I really struggled as a high school student at the end of my junior year. At North College Hill High School in Cincinnati, Ohio, I ended the year with 4 F's and a D-. this was, you know, this was like the 1960s, and I played in a rock band, and two of the guys in our band were caught, and we were busted for drugs, and I really began to seek and had an encounter with Jesus, and my life began to change. I got into the University of Cincinnati, where I had 2 degrees. I had one in marketing and one in social work, and both of those have served
wow.
me
oh,
well,
God.
You know, in ministry.
What a combination.
I know.
I just love that. You know, in the I had to read the last question. Every chapter in your book has questions, and they're very challenging questions, not only for churches, but for individuals. And the last question in your book was, if you let yourself get out of control, what could God do with you and or do through you? And I've just been pondering that. What do you mean by out of control?
Well, you know, I our work in Sudan, and in 2003, I saw in a Sunday newspaper what was happening with the first genocide of the 21st century in Darfur. And I just stood up and said, you know, to our church, we can do something about this. And for a lot of people, it didn't make sense. You know, what if we invest all this money in the Janjaweed, weed, burn the lands and reburn the towns we rebuild? What if it's a desert region? What if it doesn't rain and all this money we've put into crops? And I know what if we do nothing? And I think out of control means that we do what we know is God's heart, even when it doesn't make sense. And Lori Beth, it's become a miracle. Today, 83,000 people in Darfur are eating off that sustainable agricultural program we started in 2005.
Wow.
We've built 172 wow. schools with 23,000 kids in them today in Darfur.
Oh, my goodness.
And our water, we finished 13 water yards, and each one of those serves over 22,000 people and their livestock. So, you know, when you get out of control and you act, you risk on what God's heart is rather than what makes sense,
mm-hmm.
miracles happen.
So we have just my clock shows 3 minutes left. So can you rattle off 10 or 15 things that a local member could do? You know, not all of us can do huge projects, but I know you have your mind is just brimming with ideas. What are some things that our listeners could do today?
Well, you know, in a most simple church, these are all things we did as a tiny church with 60, 70 people and a $27,000 annual budget when I began at Gainesburg. A food pantry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something is as simple, and a used clothing store. All of these things have value to many people in our areas today. We started we have a lot of blue-collar workers, so we started a car ministry doing repair on cars where people couldn't afford repairs on their own cars. After-school tutoring programs. As a tiny church, we started something called a Clubhouse Ministry, and then the cartoonist Mike Peters, who's a national syndicated in newspapers, got involved with this. And two presidents, both the first President Bush gave us the 838-point Light Award for our tutoring programs with at-risk kids, and President Clinton named us one of the top 25 volunteer organizations in the nation one year. Small, it was still a relatively small church because of after-school tutoring kind of programs. We do hot meals on our campus for free before worship on Sunday mornings. We do hot meals for free, and even homeless people show up for, you know, free breakfast on two of our campuses. Then we began hot meals on Monday night and Tuesday night, and especially in our community with 15% unemployment, this
wow.
is becoming important. And then you'll find other agencies, including government agencies, will begin to partner and give you some food sources. Grocery chains will begin to partner and give food
wow.
sources when you begin to work in your community. Tutoring in schools, after-school programs, tutoring in schools. Like, there's so many.
Oh, my goodness. We've got 30 seconds. And if people want to reach you, they can reach you at mslaughter, S-L-A-U-G-H-T-E-R, at ginghamsburg.org. ginghamsburg.org. And the book that we've been talking about is Change the World, and you can reach it at Amazon.com or Abingdon Press, A-B-I-N-G-D-O-N. Mike, it has been a pleasure, and I really look forward to meeting you in person and getting some of that missional anointing from you.
Well, thank you so much, Laura Beth.
Thank you, and go out and enjoy your day today, and I know that you're going to bless everybody that you touch. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in, and this has got to be one of the most energizing Monday morning shows I personally have ever done, and I want to thank Mike for taking his day off to spend time with us and re-inject that missional versus attractional locus and focus on Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Mike. Thank you to our listeners. Go out and make it a great day and do something for somebody. Blessings to you, Mike.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.